Definitely we have guys here from Queens.
One, the world is the most survived. In the beginning of the year, sometimes Red Luban gives his version of what he thinks the most survived is. But every single Rebbe does their own thing. If anyone from Queens knows. Yeah.
It's
telling you the Metzias. In Queens, there's like a very long rotation of Mosavadim. Every single Rebbe is like very different. Everyone has, you know, styles. So that's definitely what I've seen from different Rebbeim, I guess myself too, over the years with Mosavadim. One thing which I saw, for the most part, everyone's a little different, but for the most part, they're basically the same. They want to talk about a topic, and okay, so some will be more practical, some will be less practical, some use it as a forum to say over shmuzim, but for the most part, they're talking about one topic focused that night on. Well, back in the day in Queens, when Shmuel Naiman Zatzal used to give Mosavadim, and he used to have like the biggest crowd by his Mosavadim. Now, okay, him and Reb Shaikon, especially Rabbi Brigida, was fighting with him. So, what made Rabbi Naiman's Musar Vadim very unique is he never spoke about one topic. For those familiar in the English library here, a stream of consciousness. Basically, something that was on Rabbi Naiman's mind for the past couple weeks, or in the long Queen's rotation from the last time he said a Musavad, somehow got mentioned during that event. And I found it very frustrating. I tried to like label each shmooze, each vad, like a topic, I'll name it. I never was able to name any one of Rabbi Naiman's vad. Because how do you name a vad that's up about 25 different things? There's no one theme. So I used to name the vadim when Rabbi Naiman would speak, Rabbi Naiman Live. No other way to do it. So in honor of Rabbi Naiman's Yahrzeit, which Be'ez Hashem is tomorrow night, I believe it's the sixth Yahrzeit. So this vad is entitled Shua, Rabbi Naiman Alive. That's all. Right? No chabad. But.
Wow.
But. Rabbi Naiman Alive. And I want to tell you what I did to prepare for this vad. It was actually a lot of fun. I decided to pull out, I think I did four of my notebooks from my days in yeshiva. And I ripped through Rabbi Naiman Vadim. And I went through topics that Rabbi Naiman spoke about basically over a couple years. Different topics Rabbi Naiman spoke about. I made a list of them. About a dozen topics. I'm going to talk about each of those topics tonight, in brief. And at the end, since I want to give a more classic thought, tie them all together with one basic message. Now, we'll start with interesting topics. Right? I'll list off all the topics that Rabbi Naiman spoke about, and then I'll go through one by one what they mean. Number one, spoke about the importance of saying Shalom Aleichem. Number two, the importance of visiting or learning in other yeshivas other than the Chofetz Chaim. Number three, haks and halacha. Number four, knowing your yeshiva's history. Number five, speaking to gedolim. Number six, thinking of answers, pondering answers to questions that you hear. Number seven, the importance of having hashkafa. Number eight, the importance of hasmada. Number nine, the importance of a Masorah. Number 10, Gedolim stories galore. Number 11, you better write notes. Number 12, to have azas in certain situations. These were all random things Rabbi Naiman said. I could have given more because I just rattled off the ones that I saw in my notebook. He also used to give advice on what cars to buy, what to invest in, what not to invest in, Mr. Stocks. Every topic under the sun, Rabbi Naiman like covered at some point. Like, what's a Rebbe giving a share about car, which car to buy? Stocks. Right? This is before the Tesla age. So let me go one by one, these hashkafas that he gave over. He spent time in Avad talking about the concept of giving someone Shalom Aleichem. Now, to be honest, like, I don't know. You know, how do you give a Shalom Aleichem? I was somewhere the other day, and brought a, you know, I said hi to the person. You know, the person says, still,
give you a hug, how are you?
Right? Exactly. Exactly. You know, people need to know, like, how to say hello. Right? There's a certain art, right? You sometimes have in the morning. Like, one guy is super, hello, good morning! And, like, you are so exhausted. Your room goes to sleep at 3:30 a.m. And you're just, forget it. So that's probably not the best guy to give your good morning. Not a good idea. But that's not what he was talking about. That's no savior panim yafos, how to greet people. Rabbi Naaman Shalom Aleichem was, it's an inyan, a person, you haven't seen someone in a few days. Give a person a Shalom Aleichem. Guys come back from a break. Part of being a friend, part of being a mensch, derech eretz, is to say Shalom Aleichem to people. He was insistent. You daven in the shul. How do you not wait Friday night and give Shalom Aleichem to the Rav? Now I hear a caveat that the Rav takes forever to say hi to people. You have to wait on this apple. Okay, maybe sometimes you can sneak out. That's my little... But he never gave such a heter. But in general, most Rabbanim...
Shake,
you know. But no, I see it here in Yeshiva. It used to be, everyone used to line up and give Shalom Aleichem to the Rebbe, you know, after davening on Shabbos. Nowadays, you know, okay. Sometimes they say hi, usually running to the Kiddush, you know, get the herring before everybody else. But there's an inyan to give Shalom Aleichem to a Rav, to a Rebbe, to a friend, people you don't see. Nowadays, everything is awkward. I get that. But it might be awkward, but also might be lacking in derech eretz. So this is the topic. I don't think anyone else in yeshiva ever spoke about this topic, but Rabbi Naaman did. It's important to give Shalom Aleichem to people. Someone new. Today I saw a high school guy. He looked new, but I wasn't sure. I'm like, I'm not holding in younger high school guys. Then I saw Rabbi Shlosser go over there. I'm like, oh, he must be checking out the yeshiva, and they did announce his name after Shacharis. But it's important. Give Shalom Aleichems. Visiting other yeshivas. This is interesting. Rabbi Naaman proudly, no, he was a very farbrenta Chofetz Chaimer, but at the same time, he was very into, and he encouraged it, something the yeshiva did too, that a person should have, doesn't mean every person, doesn't mean every situation, but in general, there is a concept. Give me a face already. But in general, there's a concept. You know, it's a good thing. I'll see another yeshiva. Yeah, you know, you'll check a yeshiva out for a year, and then you come back. You know, that's if you honestly see it, you know, another yeshiva. But Rabbi Naaman, in his days in yeshiva, basically yeshiva shut down for Yom Haran. They gave away the base medrash, and the guys had to daven wherever they could. So he would go from Chin Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to Tells. He went to Cleveland. He went to Tells every year. So on the way home, he lived in Chicago. So he'd go to Tells. He got very close to Rav Gifter that way. In fact, one of the years I found he gave a whole hesped in yeshiva about Rav Gifter. And he said when he went to Tells for Yontif, he would get a meal by Rav Gifter. You know, he was a good Chofetz Chaim hacker, and nobody else was interested. He got in by all the Rebbeim. So another topic he would speak about, you know, it's good diet to get yourself opportunities to see things, you know, broaden your perspective. You shouldn't just see one little thing in your life. He spoke very much about halacha. Basically, always had halacha hacks up his sleeve. That if he was ever around an ungadol, he'll go hack him. I can't resist. I was in New York, and I was by a chasna. I listened to my messages, and Rabbi Dreyfus is there hacking me. You know, we had this halacha hack about davening and base medrash from the bima, not so poshet. Down from the bima, they took away the amud. There wasn't enough room. If we take away the amud, there's room for another guy in the base medrash. So the amud is one of those, you know, metal crates they have outside. So I believe for Mincha, different times, guys were davening from the Bima. So I saw that. I said something to Rabbi Driving, so he thought the same thing. They put a shtender there. I don't know if they did. So Rabbi Dreyfus called me that he looked into it. He looked up a couple of Igros Moshes, and he thought that here's a tzad that he could daven from a Bima. I said, I don't think it's so kosher. At the wedding I was at, Rabbi Hanan, he saw Rabbi Reuven Feinstein was there. Now, I might say he was mobbed, and he was only there for the chuppah, and he was in a wheelchair. But I figured if you get him outside and wait till the car, you could get him. Only problem was it's 15 degrees. Wasn't a problem. I dashed outside, together with the help of Hanan, and we caught Reb Reuven. And I hacked him to Shaila. What do we think? You know, yeshiva could down from the bima of this. So I said, absolutely not. The yeshiva should take a stender, and you know, I told him we have no room. He says, put a stender there, down from a stender, not from the bima. Up my sleeve, I had a halacha hack. I've seen Chashava on Gado Posek for this thing. And I took advantage. That's classic Rabbi Neiman. He had his own story. He said, yeah, it was by a chasuno. And I wasn't being Masadar Kedushin. I wasn't sitting at the head table. Usually in yeshiva, Rabbi Neiman always was really the Masadar of the Kedushin. And the yeshiva got up there under the chuppah and did the brachos. But Rabbi Neiman was really the Masadar. He did all the hak. So he always sat up front, you know, the Masadar Kedushin sits up front doing filling all the papers, paperwork, right? A photographer, right? Smile, look up. So Rabbi Neiman said this wedding, he wasn't doing it, so he was sitting in the back. But then he saw Reb Reuven Feinstein walk in. He said, I got my Azus, tied in something later too. He said, I got right up there. He sat next to Reb Reuven, and he started hocking him. Now, in the olden days, Rabbi Neiman sometimes would come with a tape recorder. So not only would he hock in, he would record the whole thing. But this time, he didn't have a tape recorder. So he said he went up there and hocked Reb Reuven. When he came home at 1 o'clock in the morning, then he recorded all the hock that he had with him. Because it's not enough just to hock him. Reb Neiman's other major yisod is always very important to remember things. How are you going to remember it? All the hock. So you write notes, tape recorders, all these things. Another thing Reb Neiman will push. So I got down to writing notes, Azus, Halacha Hacks, Yeshiva History. He's rattling off at these Vadim. Now, the week of Rabbi Harris's Ofruf was Parshas. What? I'll tell you what the Reshiva said at Rabbi Harris's Ofruf. That's cool. He goes, that Rabbi Harris's Ofruf. Remembers what Reshiva said. Probably wrote it down somewhere. After Shabbos. It's a cool. You know, you hear a schmooze, it's a nice schmooze, but when you have like a little caveat, you know, this is what the person said. You know, sometimes guys come to me and it's like, Rebbe, you said this is a schmooze. Oh, that's cool. I guess if I check the tapes, I'll remember it. You know, but sometimes you forget things. You know, the background gives flavor to something if you know the story behind it, or in general, just know history. It's important. Speaking to Gedolim, so we already touched on that a little bit, but he was a big proponent of that. Rabbi Luban's a Talmud, he's also very into that. But Rabbi Neiman was always super into speaking Gedolim, the importance of Gedolim. I was listening to a share on the Yeshiva's website about Rabbi Neiman, and he told an amazing story that Rabbi Francis, or Moshe Francis, the Rosh Kollel of Chicago, said the entire city of Chicago is forever indebted to Rabbi Neiman. Shaychus, okay, married a girl from Chicago. What does that have to do with the city of Chicago? So I didn't remember the whole story until I listened to the share. Rabbi Neiman learned by Rav Moshe. He was part of a chabura that had shimush. Rav Moshe taught them psak halacha. One of the people in the chabura was Rav Shmuel first, young chashuv Rav, who was getting shimush by Rav Moshe. Seems the mitzias was Rav Shmuel first would fly in from Chicago to spend time, you know, learning by Rav Moshe. And he used to stay by a certain place. At a certain point, he couldn't stay by the place he was staying. And the Messias was, rent a hotel, this. But he had no place to stay. He was going to stop coming and stop getting shemesh by Ramosha. But Neumann took him into his house. He insisted that I first stay by him. That's what he did. Anytime they had a get together with Ramosha, he would come to Rabbi Neumann's house, he'd stay by Rabbi Neumann's house. And this way, for years, he got shemesh by Ramosha through Rabbi Neumann. The kesher the two of them had was like unbelievable. At first, at such a car store, Rabbi Neumann, remember the early times, he used to come to every single Neumann simcha. He would fly in. Rabbi Neumann's grandkids were getting married, he would fly in. Okay, I was being his man, I don't know. But I remember other ones. Another thing. Rabbi Neumann was very into people thinking about questions. Anytime you hear a good kasha, he would talk about Mechumish, Kol Shekein, what do you call Mishmar Shaila, very into those. That's what I was playing on the computer here. You have a Mishmar Shaila, you have a Ksos type Shaila. Think about it. Don't just ask what the answer is. I saw in my notes, he compared, he said, the Tells guy, you know, he only had the patience to work on it for like, you know, maybe a minute. He said, a Chavetz Chaim guy, he'd be pacing back and forth. That was his observation when he went for Rosh Hashanah one year. He asked the guy a good kasha. He tells over this story in the share of how he was collecting for the yeshiva. He went to the LA, the big shul back in those days, the 1950s. And asked the Rav, told the Rav about this thing. You know, the Rabbanim Shul, they get it all the time. You know, people coming to ask them for money. And he gave him like, you know, a half-baked response. Then he asked him something. You have any Torah? So I now mistakes him. I say over shmooze, and I say over where she was sure. I'm like, so I had to ask him what he called the Mishmar Shaila. And the Rav loved it because it was a challenging question. He worked on it, he thought of it. Gradually he thought of an answer to that. He gave him another Shaila. The Rav worked on it. Basically, he very much enjoyed hockey with him. So afterwards, he says, come to me Sunday morning. But now I felt a little rejected. Like, Sunday morning, like, yeah, I thought he was going to tell me to come Shabbos and give a speech in shul, you know. Okay, well, he comes Sunday morning. Basically, hundreds of people start walking off to Rabbi Neumann and giving him checks. The Rav took care of the speech. He was so impressed with Rabbi Neumann's Torah, or better, the Torah that he got him to say, was that he told all his baba to make sure to give money for the yeshiva. Hashkafa. This is a cool story. Renan was very into person having hashkafa. Hashkafa doesn't just mean, you know, basic black and white things, but really the hashkafa of stocks and cars and which doctor to use, and which vaccine to get. Everything is hashkafa. Rabbi Neumann originally learned in Yeshiva Torah V'das. This Talmud in Torah V'das. He switched the Torah V'das to Chafetz Chaim because a fun spot, he ran into some Chafetz Chaim guys and was very impressed. No, that wasn't the story. What happened was he was actually schmoozed with some Chafetz Chaim guys and he was impressed with their learning, but he was even more impressed about their hashkafa. So Rabbi Neumann left his payas and his mikvah behind, literally, and he went to Chavetz Chaim. Hashkafa is something a person's like impressed, like, boy, these guys are really prepared, they know things. Like, he felt he was learning yeshiva, he was learning Torah. If it was just the Torah, he would have stayed. But the hashkafa is like, I don't have that. That's why he left. Mesorah. He had all these great stories about the importance of Mesorah. At one time, a famous story, the Rashiva got into a fight with some older Gedolim. The Rashiva was a young Rosh Hashiva. Panach was Rosh Hashiva at the age of 24. He was going to meetings with other Gedolim. They were a generation older than him. There's a few times they put pressure on him to agree to something. And the Rashiva took that pressure and stood up to them. Other Gedolim, I mean, like Rebara and Vlach from Tells, before of Gifter. You know, Reuven, older Gedolim, much older than him, but he stood his ground with one simple argument. Kach mekablanim beis avi. I'm not. What I'm saying, I know this in my Masorah. This is what my father said. So I can't argue. There's one. Rav told of a story, how they once had an issue. Guys in yeshiva getting too into Kabbalah, learning Kabbalah, too into Kabbalah. So, okay. They figured out ways how to end those that issue. Well, one time, this Mekubal came to challenge Rav Henoch. And you know, how come you don't teach Kabbalah? He brought him all these different rayas from Zohars and this, that. So instead of slugging him up, which maybe you know, Rav Henoch was afraid to turn into a frog, don't mess with Mekubal. Yeah. But he had a good chap. He said, I hear all your tainas. Well, all I know, it's not my yeshiva. Kach mekiblani beis avi. I'm just continuing what my father did. Sorry, I can't make... I hear Urias. You're not fighting him. It's my Masorah. Like, leave me alone. And Taki did. It's great chap. Rav Naaman was super into Gedolim stories. He used to quote the Chazon Ish. That the Chazon Ish would say, one good story is more powerful than quoting 10 Chazals. So let me put that into words. So you could be the biggest balki. You could quote me 10 different Gemaras, 10 different Shmuzim, okay? Rabbi Pelgrim said this, Rabbi Lubin said this, Rabbi Kira says this. No, okay. 10 Shmuzim. If you hear one good story, that's got a much better impact on your listeners than all your 10 Chazals. Now, it's got to be a good story. I remember one time, Rabbi Naaman got a brand new famous storybook, and he, well, the later editions, and I remember he was so frustrated. He's like, I read through this whole book, and there's not a single story I could use. Not every story is a good story, you know, some Baba Maisa, some this, some that, right? We don't know what's going on in Shemayim. It's got to be a good story. So, but a good story, you know, you could add to your speech. Anytime the guy's speaking, you have a good story, that's worth more than the Chazals. As I zok the Chazon Ish. So he was very into guys accumulating stories. He was very into, he speaks a lot about guys speaking. Anytime you have an opportunity to speak, speak. Because the Metzias is the only way a person gets better at speaking is by speaking. In the beginning, you're nervous. In the beginning, you have certain flaws. But over time, the more a person speaks, the better. I know a lot of people, when they first started speaking, they were horrible. Difficult to listen to. You couldn't understand the words coming out of their mouth. But they got used to speaking, and little by little, you know, you want to be able to get up there by, you know, a bit bull show, you know, Ofrif. Speech! Right? Yeah! I'm talking, Magan Lamaisa. Where is he? Right? Lamaisa. You want to be able to get up to speak. Say something.
Do I don't know something?
So you gotta stop practicing.
The
bit
balls in the kitchen.
I'll be walking
around. Now that I went through more than a dozen topics that Rav Naaman spoke about, I do think there's one common theme about all these things. I just want to tie this all together, put it in a bow, and then go do Chazar, which is also a good topic to speak about. But I think where Rav Naaman gave Talmid in yeshiva something very special. Because in yeshiva, there's bread and butter. Of course in yeshiva, you're going to get the Ian and Musar, Shkafa. There are basics that everyone knows about. And Mamela, okay, a guy's going to work on those things. Okay, he'll become better in Ian, he'll become better in Musar. But there's all these other peripheral things. When I went through those dozen different topics, everyone here should ask themselves, how many of those am I good at? Am I good at interacting with people? Well, I'm embarrassed to say Shalom Aleichem. Do I take notes? Am I interested in halacha? Do I go after gedolim? Each one of these extra midos adds to the mensch, adds another dimension to a person. That's what adds a person, gives him shleimus, makes him complete. If you're a guy, you could be the biggest expert in the yeshiva shmuzim and lumdis, but you don't have good people skills. You're afraid to say hi to the guy. You're the greatest lumdin. You're going to be a lousy marbet Torah. How can I interact with people? I'll say the greatest chazals in my share, but you're boring. Do you know how to tell a story in the middle of share? You have to know all these things. I think what Rabbi Nachman gave us was he gave us so many different aspects that made a person, Adam HaShalem, made a person not just great in one area, but it's a full picture. And this list, and there's many more, of aspects, a lot of these things are not necessarily spoken about so much in yeshiva, definitely not focused a lot about. But if every so often you think about these things, you try to work on these things, it's something that will make you a better person, a more complete person, and somebody who, Be'ezus Hashem, could, like Rabbi Nachman, wherever you go, be Mekashim Hashem, as a Talmud Chacham, a Lamdim, a Mensch, a Baal Derech Eretz, and Be'ezus Hashem, we should all be Zoche to reach such lofty but attainable madrigas.